And I'm going to call my sermon, Is It True? Is It True? And it's pretty interesting, tonight when Tal came in early tonight, he said, Brother Zach, what are you going to preach about tonight? Are you going to preach? And I said, I'm going to try to. I said, I'm going to preach on Is It True? And I said, like, for instance, Is It True? The Sister Patty is in heaven. He said, sure, it's true. And that really made me feel great. Is it true? And so I don't really doubt what the Bible says. You don't either, but even some of my own family members made this statement, being honest with me. They said, you know, Daddy, you know, is Grandma really in heaven? They know she is. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But we don't see her in heaven. You know, I lost my mother and father. I'm 100% sure I'll see them. I don't take any credit for a strong faith. If I have a strong faith, I give God credit. I hope he'll never let me down. If God ever turned me on my loose on my own, I would be a doubter. You would too. So you better thank God we can believe the word of God, as the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. I have no doubt about it. And we know the martyrs would never have given their lives if they hadn't had a complete confidence in the word of God, and God had to give them that. So I'm going to call this sermon, Is It True? And I'm going to read a lot of scriptures, and I hope the Lord will make the application. And a statement that just moved me to tears when I first read this, it's the passion of it. I can just see that. There's a young man who's one of C.S. Lewis's students. And so, this really got me. And is it true? Is it true? The most amazing tale of them all. I can see a kid, maybe a kid who'd been an atheist or something before he came to college, I don't know. God was C.S. Lewis, he got converted, said, is it true? Is it true? The most amazing tale of them all. And the story of salvation is a story that's too good to be true, but it is true. It's really too good to be true. But yet it's true. That Christ can come save such sinners as we are. It has such an amazing heavenly kingdom, we cannot imagine the joy and glory of it. But you know, death is real too. We've kind of had some interesting times with Grandma being gone. Some of our kind of humorous in a way. We all want to ask her some questions. I said, oh, I can't do it anymore. And Jesus even got to try to reassure her about her funeral expenses. She doesn't worry about that. I can just see her tonight. We would have been reading our Bible together, Judy and I would, and she'd always sit in on that. And I thank God she doesn't go crazy anymore, because I don't take the garbage down on a Monday night when they pick up on Tuesday. She doesn't have to worry about that anymore. But I can't talk to her anymore. You can't talk to your mom anymore really either. But it's great. Now, is it true? Is it true? It sure is true. But I'm going to tell you, and I want you kids to listen to me too. I'm going to show you how you can know it's true, okay? I'm just going to go to some scriptures. And I'm going to go, first of all, to Romans chapter 8. How do we know it's true? I have never seen the resurrection yet. None of us have. So I'm going to go to several scriptures, and just you be patient and you be in prayerful attention as I read these scriptures. I'm not teaching you anything new. I'm hoping to reaffirm you and myself in what we know to be true. You know, just the very fact that we're made in God's image, even people who are reprobates have some idea of a life beyond this life, don't they? The Egyptians did. They thought they could pack up food for people and even kill servants so they could have servants on those in the world to come. So there's something inside human beings made in God's image. We know there's something beyond this life. But let's read over in Romans 8. I'll read several verses here. I think I'll start in verse 13. So I'm just going to read and comment on these verses. I don't have a big sermon planned. I've done some studying, but I don't think I'll let the Word of God speak, and hope it'll speak to you. Romans 8, beginning of verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now get to verse 14. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When you've been born again, you receive the spirit of adoption. God lets you know you're an adopted child of God, and you just cry, Abba, Father. That's happened to every born-again person. You may not have said those words, Abba, Father. Your heart has leaped out, and it's like calling God Daddy, really, Abba, a Papa. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Because a lot of people have the spirit of bondage again to fear. People in false religions do. They believe it works salvation. We got to do enough for God to save us and all that. And we're tainted with it, even if we've been born again. And all the truth, we're still tainted with that. That's built in our nature. I've got to do good enough for God to like me. That's never going to happen. God loves me anyway, and then I want to please him, so that's why I try to live right. But like the song Top Lady wrote, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. So but we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, because that does put people in bondage. We receive the spirit of adoption where we cry, Abba, Father. Now, this is the verse I want to get to in the next couple of verses. The spirit itself, you might say the spirit himself, that's what he was talking about. The spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit. The Holy Ghost beareth witness with the spirit we have inside us that we are the children of God. Isn't that wonderful? If you think you're a child of God, if you're born again, you kind of know you're a child of God. There's something inside you. I love God. Not like I ought to, but I love God because the spirit of God's in you. Bearing witness, you're the child of God. Now, I don't believe in only emotional religion, but I do believe in emotional religion. Not emotion per se, but there's emotion in serving God. The spirit enters our heart. We cry, Abba, Father, the spirit, bear witness with my spirit. I'm a child of God. And if children, then heirs. Amazing, isn't it? Heirs. What a sermon this would be, just this one text if a guy could preach it. Heirs, an heir. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heir with Christ. That's a mind blower. I hope somebody has preached a sermon on that. I never had preached a sermon just on that subject, I don't think. I don't know where I can handle it or not. A joint heir with Christ. It's amazing. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. If so be we suffer with him, we may be also glorified with him. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time not worthy to compare the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'll stop there. That's a great book. Read Romans 8. But think about the spirit. What I want right now is why I know it's true. Why is it true? Is it true? The Spirit bears witness with my spirit. I'm a child of God. Because what happens when you're born again, God takes the Word of God right here, this Word of God, the truth here, and writes it in your heart. I'll write it in their heart, put it in their mind. I will be to them a God. They shall be to me a people. Therefore, when you hear the gospel preached, something comes inside you. Yes, that's true. That's true. It may not always be that strong, but there's something in there. If you're born again, I believe I have a predisposition to believe the Word of God. See, some people, when they come to the Bible, they come as critics. They try to find contradiction and criticism. So I've got a book in my library written by a great scholar who was a textual scholar. He wrote a book called Believing Bible Study. I love that. He said, you come to the Bible with one predisposition or another. You come, you want to believe it, or you come because you don't want to believe it. You try to find fault with it. So me, being a believer and want to believe the Bible, if there's a seeming contradiction in the Bible, I'm going to say, well, I just don't understand what's going on there. But I'm not going to say the Bible is wrong. I'm saying I'm wrong. I don't understand yet what the contradiction is can be resolved. So I'm coming to the Bible with a desire to believe the Word of God. Okay, now let's go to Galatians. He'll go say the same thing in Galatians chapter 4. Let's go over there. Now get my subject again. Is it true? Is it true what the Bible says about everything, and including right now, we're thinking about death and thinking about the resurrection. And I love Tal's answer. Tal, you're right about that, buddy. Sure it's true. Sure it's true. Sure it's true. Sure it's true. Isn't that great? Just like Seth that I told you not long ago. When our baby died, Mama, buy some baby food and diapers. Why, son? Because the Lord's going to raise her from the grave again. And we're going to need it. I love that childlike faith. That's how strong and real the resurrection is. He might have got a few details wrong, but he didn't have the real thing wrong. Hallelujah. That's what I said about it. All right, Galatians chapter 4. I'll read just a few verses from Galatians 4. This is stuff you already know. I just want to reaffirm you in it. Beginning in verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, is different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, was under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, that's when Jesus Christ was born, came to this world. There's a great sermon on that one verse there, the fullness of the time. When the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, we might receive the adoption of sons, just like Romans 8 is talking about. And because you are sons, so you're already a son by election and predestination, because you are a son, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Isn't that beautiful? Paul said the same thing in Romans, the same thing in Galatians. Because I'm a son of God, God sent forth his Spirit to my heart when I was born again, and I cry, Abba, Father. I don't remember the first time I cried, Abba, Father. I don't remember that. I don't remember when I was born again. Some of you may. I hope you do. You know, let me just say this. You kids listen to me. This may help you. Could help me out a lot. See, Brother E.C. Holler was a great preacher. I mean, the Lord, we had a, listen, folks, I hope Greg Chaplin is here when Jesus comes again. When I was a young man, I had a member of a church that had over 200 members over close to the fairgrounds. We had powerful services. We had people weeping out loud. They're so thrilled with what God was doing in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ when Brother Holler preached. They made some big mistakes, and that church doesn't exist any longer. Isn't that sad? But I tell you, when Holler preached, he could preach. Well, he had a dramatic experience of grace. He lived up in Burnsville, Tennessee, up there where Tim Pennon used to live and preach up there at Little Flock. He was just this ungodly young man, ungodly. They used to have saloons and stuff around there. He can go to the saloon, get drunk, have big fights, all kinds of stuff. So one night while he's in a saloon, the Lord got a hold of him and changed his life. He never went back again. He'd tell that story, and we'd all just start crying. Man, it's a great story. God got a hold of him and changed his life. But one night, I got to worrying. Uh-oh. I've never had that kind of experience. I wonder if I'm born again. I think I love the Lord. I think I love the church and his people, but I never had an experience like that. And it bothered me. So thank God one day Brother Holder preached a sermon and cleared my doubts up. He said, folks, listen, over in John 3:8, it says, the wind blows where it listeth or pleases. Thou canst hear the sound thereof, canst not tell when it cometh or whither it goeth. So everyone that's born of the Spirit of God, hear what he said. He said, you know what? Sometimes the wind blows with hurricane force. It just knocked everything down. Sometimes it blows so imperceptibly, you can barely see the leaves rustle. It's the same wind. He said, the Apostle Paul, when the Spirit of God got a hold of him, it's like a hurricane on the road to Damascus. He said, John the Baptist was made to leap in his mother's womb. He didn't remember the experience of grace. And boy, he cleared my doubts up. I just know I started to love the Lord. Garvin Green, I love the Green family. One reason is because old Garvin Green taught a singing school at Marshall Memorial Church. We had a 2-week singing school. And somehow that godly man, God was working on me, had an influence on me. And the middle of the singing school, I didn't intend to join the church. I wish the Spirit would move that way today, and I already do. The Spirit of God moved in my life, and I remember Brother Waller was a deacon. I was sitting on the second bench. I elbowed him and said, excuse me, Brother Waller, wham, and ran down and joined the church. I don't regret it. I was 13 years old. I don't regret it one bit. You ain't got to do that, but I'd like to see some people do that. I really would. You know, one time I'm at White Haven Drive. Let me deviate just a bit. Oh, Eddie Graham. I'm going to call him one of these days. Oh, Eddie Graham, I was really full of vinegar, boy. I mean, the Holy Ghost. We had a revival at White Haven, a real revival. Baptized a bunch of people, unusual. I like to have one at Great Chapel like that. So I'm full of vinegar, and I'm up there preaching one day. I get down to Acts chapter 10, verse 48, and Paul said, I command you to be baptized. Well, I hollered out, I command you to be baptized. And he ran down the aisle to join the church. So I don't know, maybe I ought to holler out again, but if the Holy Ghost said it, nobody would do anything, would they? Anyway, though, the Holy Spirit enters our heart, making us cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Hey, look at the little kids. Let's go to a few more scriptures. I'm just reading these scriptures and talking about it, okay? It's the Bible. Not a well-organized sermon. Heartfelt sermon. Biblical sermon. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. I won't read the context this time. But I love this, and let's pray about this. I believe you are praying about this. Pray more about this. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, also of the Holy Ghost and much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The gospel came not in word only, empowered in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. You know what that's talking about. I know most of you do. I hope all of you do. Sometime I come to church, I got to kind of pinch my leg to stay away. That's the truth. My thought. Sometimes I just get so happy I wish the guy keep on preaching. I actually wish I could keep on the dial. He quit too quick. I timed him. He was done in 48 minutes. I thought I'd go at least an hour, you know. He gets a little bit antsy. But, you know, man, that's good stuff. Let's keep on going here. Let's eat the good old spiritual food. The wind's blowing. Keep the sail up. Keep the sail up. See? The gospel come in work power. I want that to happen. Acts chapter 19. Then the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. When it prevailed, those people, and I heard Thomas Mann this morning on the internet, and he said he did some study on that. He thinks that over $1 million worth of magic books were burned up there at Ephesus. The word of God came with such great power. They turned from idolatry. Do you think God can do that today? He can do that today. He may not, but he can. We ought to ask him to do that. Lord, make changes in people's lives through the gospel. Not that Brother Zach is hollering loud. That's not have nothing to do with it. Not that it's a great oratorical sermon, even though we hope there will be. But my friend, the Holy Ghost is working, striking our hearts. That's what we want. That's where we get the assurance. First, well, I'm going to read you quite a section in a minute. But let's read, first of all, 1 Peter 1:8. I love this. Some of these scriptures, every time I read them, I get happier with it. This is one of them. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, have you seen Jesus Christ? No, I have not seen Jesus Christ face to face. I have not seen him yet as the God-man. I have not. I will. Sister Patty's seen him. Whom having not seen, you love. Do I love him? Unless I'm totally deceived, I love him. Unless I'm totally deceived, I love him. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet here's the key. Believing. Believing. That's faith. We rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, I told you before, that's in the context of persecution. First Peter is in the context of persecution. They're not living just a happy life, a luxurious life, a life of leisure, like we all really like to live that kind of life by our flesh. I don't want anything bothering me. I wish I just could. Everybody leave me alone, have a big old time, you know. But I feel they weren't living that kind of life. In whom though ye see him not, get this case, believing. Believing, that's a synonym with faith. Faith is the belief, is the verb, and faith is the noun. Same Greek word. Same Greek word, pistos, pistis, pistuo, a Greek word family. Isn't that beautiful? Believing, hallelujah, believing. So, okay. Now let's go to Ephesians 1. And I know I'm doing a lot of scripture, but that's okay. You can get what you want out of this. You might want to get some of your own. Hope you will. And maybe decide to read some of these at least when you go home. But I want to start in Ephesians 1. I want to just read a portion here. I think I'm going to go ahead and read. Let me see where I want to start. I think I'll go ahead and start at verse 12 here probably. Yeah, let's start at verse 12. This is great stuff. Beautiful stuff. What's my topic? Is it real? Is it real? Is it true? Is it true? Okay, verse 12 of Ephesians 1. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, whom ye also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's when they really heard it. In whom you also trusted now, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I've got something in my files, I can find it, that Mike Ivey one time preached, and I called him one time, Mike, write that out for me. And what he did, he told a beautiful experience about it. He had gone to church as a little boy all his life and heard the gospel, but he was just going because his parents made him. But one day, something different happened. He was never the same since. He said, I was sealed with the Holy Spirit. I believe he's right about that. I hope to God you have been sealed. If not, I hope God will seal you. In whom ye also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believe, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The Holy Ghost is the earnest. It's our engagement ring. You know, I won't go over that again. That word means engagement ring in the Greek, in the modern Greek. You know, we're engaged to Jesus Christ. We've not had the marriage supper of the Lamb yet. We've engaged to Jesus Christ. We have the earnest of our inheritance. Now, the Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, the praise of his glory. So, I want to read a prayer now. I want to read this prayer. It's a great prayer. Wherefore, I also, verse 15, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, loving all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What are you praying for, Paul? Let's pray that for each other. Let's start praying for each other. That the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of lights, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You may know some things. Know what the hope of his calling. That's a sermon in itself. The hope of his calling. And the riches of the glory of his inheritance and the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, who raised him from the dead, set him down his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name in his name, not only in this world, also which is to come. Now, I'm not going to preach that right now, but you can tell me just reading that powerful, can't you?
You do some meditating on that. God, open my eyes up. I may see the riches of the hope of your calling. The inheritance of the saints, God. The power to make a believer out of me. These are real things. These are not just concepts. These are truths. But sometimes they're just concepts to us. That's the way it is. That's the way we're made up. We need the Holy Ghost to make it real to us, precious friend. There's our treasure right there, amazing treasure. All right. Let's go a little bit further. Okay, look. Now, what, Brother Zach, are you talking about from a practical standpoint? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. It's simple. You know it, too. It's prayer and the Word of God. It's prayer and the Word of God. One of the brethren already quoted the prayer. And quoted this verse in his prayer. I forget which one of y'all did it. It's over in Psalm 119:18. Psalm 119:18. Open thou mine eyes, I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open my eyes, God, as I read the Bible. I can read, get something out of it. Understand the beauty of it, the power of it, God. Sometimes God does that, doesn't he? Open thou mine eyes, I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And then alive with that, 2 Corinthians 5:7. I won't go to the context. I could, but I won't. It's talking about the resurrection. And it's talking about stuff like, is it true? Is it true? Is it true? He said, we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith believes God's word. That's what he's talking about. Faith believes God's word. We walk by faith. I can't see Patty Machiavelli raised from the dead. Her body's over there on Whitten Road in a cemetery. In a coffin. Covered by 6 feet of dirt. My daddy and mom are down. Their bodies are over there on Bellevue and that other cemetery over there where I saw them buried. My baby, my precious baby, is over there. When Judy and I go by on the expressway, we know right where she's buried at, close to that evangelical church, First Event over there. We know where the steeple is, where the grave's at. The last I saw, I had the privilege of getting a shovel and shoveling a few things of dirt on top of her. I'm not, so if I walk by sight, that's the end of it. But I tell you what, I'm not walking by sight, I'm walking by faith. Just as sure as God reigns in glory, I'll see them again someday. I bank on that. I bet on that. I believe that with all my heart. I probably not use a very good choice of words. I tell you, I have no doubt about that. I could if the Lord left me on my own. God forbid. Don't ever do it, Lord. Don't take that away from me, Lord. Take my health. Take my money. Take everything. Don't take my faith away. Let me appreciate my faith and cultivate my faith, God. What a privilege to believe in you, Lord Jesus Christ, in these times we're living in. And like Idick preached today, Idick had a great sermon. Thank God for that sermon today. My friend Idick wrote about that. The severity and the goodness of God. Goodness toward us, his people. I don't care what the elections come out. I don't care what a role the wicked people are on. Someday, God's wrath, his amazing wrath, will be vented on them. And they'll understand the severity of God. And they'll cry out to the rocks to fall on them. The smirks will be wiped off their faces. And they won't be lifting up their faces, their fist against God anymore. I believe that with all my heart. It's the truth. It's the truth. So I can keep going. I tell you, your prayers have not been wasted. Y'all been doing a lot of praying? I've been praying for 4 years. Y'all know that. More than I ever had my life. So I got that. The devil said, ha ha. He whispered to me, I was a rascal. I'm glad he's going to hell too, aren't y'all? He said, hey, your prayers are not working. Isaac says for 430 years, the prayers are being bottled up by God. Brother, I tell you, when he answered all our prayers, Katie barred the door for old Pharaoh. Yes, he's hearing our prayers, Harris. He's putting our tears in a bottle, the Bible says. Every one of the tears we shed, the groans we held, because of wickedness around about us, God gets all that. He's storing all that up, precious friend. He's storing it up. And then in his own time, it will be swift. It will be sudden. It will be perfect judgment on the wicked. But my friend, that judgment fell 2,000 years ago on Calvary for my sake and your sake. The wrath of God was vented on Calvary to the Son of God, my friend. Hey, I gave my cheeks to those that plucked out the hair. I kept not back my body from smiting. They pierced my feet. They mocked me. Lord, the wrath of, if you'll see what God thinks about sin, look at the cross of Calvary, my precious friend. But we've been, 1 Thessalonians said, we've been delivered from what? The wrath to come. The wrath to come. That's all that really counts. I don't like, listen, don't get me wrong. I'm no Superman. I'm a wimp. I hate trouble. I don't want it to be hard. I don't want no persecution. We sang a song, Lord, save your congregation from persecution. Saints always pray that. They ought to pray it. They ought to pray it. But if it comes anyway, and God says, then we'll accept it. And God gives us grace to go through it. And we'll be glad. You say, brother, God, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I've got to give you the scripture on it. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they, the prophets which were before you, and the one that looks says, leap for joy in that day. If we can talk to martyrs today, we'll say, yeah, that's right. We don't know that now. I'm not, you know, we're just weak. I know that. God knows we're weak too. But he can strengthen us. Who can strengthen us? All right. So prayer. Now let's just, I'm going to be through for you. Think I am. Look at Hebrews 11:6. My friend, let's ask God to increase our faith. Hebrews 11:6 said this. I think the song, trust and obey. Really, Hebrews 6, is that's what they're talking about. Trust and obey. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Isn't that precious? He is, brethren. We believe he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently. It's worth it to serve God, folks. The devil says it's not worth it. He'll give us doubts. Go ahead and just get a little bit worldly. Let the world be friendly to you. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I've got a sermon coming if I live long enough. The world hates you. They always have hated us. We need to realize that. Don't get paranoid about it. A lot of saints have gone through this ever since the first, when Cain killed Abel. Even John 17, the Lord says that. I have given them thy word. The world has hated them because they're not of the world. Even if I'm not of the world, Jesus Christ said. We forget that sometimes. I'm calling it Professor Hanko, a man I love very much up in Michigan. I love his commentary, the Pilgrim's Manual. Hey, we got so comfortable with the world, we've forgotten the world hates us. We've got so comfortable with the world, we've forgotten what a conflict there is, what a difference there is between the righteous and the unrighteous. And God may be pulling the rug out from under us to make us get heavenly mind again. I don't know what God's doing. I'm not a prophet. But I'll say this too, precious friends. A little different. Let's just be honest about it. We do have trouble sometimes. I'm going to read you a song in a minute. I'll read you about a man, though, that I identify with. You do, too. I've heard you do it. Reuben, I think I've heard you pray this before. It's a guy over at Mark. He got a boy that's in bad trouble with a demon. He said, can you help us? And Jesus says, can you believe? And oh, boy, listen to this over Mark chapter 9, verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thy mind unbelief. We all identify with that. God can help our unbelief. Now, let me say this. You know, let me just give you a couple of individuals before I read a song here in a minute. My friend Job had highs and lows. And you will, too. You will, too. You say, brother, I don't have lows. You will. I don't want you to have them. But they're going to come. I hope you have a bunch of highs, too. Job, sometime, one day, cursed the day of his birth. Now, he never cursed God. He cursed the day of his birth. But he said in the 13th chapter, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. You can't get any stronger than that. We call Abraham the father of the faithful, don't we? He was the father of the faithful. He was strong in faith, not staggering at the promises of God when he offered Isaac up. But my friend, two times, he will let his wife be another man's harem to save his own skin. So we have mixtures of joy and sorrow. We have lows and highs. David in the psalm, highs a kite sometimes. We just rejoice in his wonderful joy. And then sometimes he's mourning. That's the life of a child of God. So what I'm saying is, when you get down, don't stay down. You won't stay down. You know what? It's kind of funny. You kids need something to think about, don't you? Listen up here, Asher, you old boys. Listen, I'll tell you something. You know, you can bounce a basketball, can't right? Y'all like to dribble a basketball? Well, I do. You hit the thing on the ground, it pops back up. Good gracious, alive. Get that thing down. Try the bowling ball. Try the bowling ball. It ain't going nowhere. Then had air in it. Brother, you got a Holy Ghost in you. The devil can't bounce. Now, if you ain't born again, wham, you're down. But we're not down. We're a basketball. We're not a bowling ball. That may not be a very good sermon. I don't want to be a basketball or a bowling ball. Because a basketball got some air in. A basketball gets the Holy Ghost in there. The harder the devil dribbles that thing, the higher it goes. Let's read number 3-4. This is not in our book, our PBH. So I just want to read this to you. Nobody knows who really wrote this. Elder Green, Roland, bless his old heart, the memory of that precious Son of God, that godly man, that wonderful man, that wholesome man, had a big influence on me. Bless his memory. Isn't it good to have a memory of a lot of places like that? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Boy, they give us strength, don't they? A whole bunch of them have gone before, been faithful. Let's be faithful in our generation. I want to encourage all of you to do what it said about David in the book of Acts. I think it's chapter 13. When David had by his own by the will of God, served his own generation, fell asleep. Let's all serve our generation. You young people, we got to serve yours. We got to serve ours. Then we can fall asleep. Mixtures of joy and sorrow. I daily do pass through. Sometimes I'm in the valley and sinking down with woe. Sometimes I am exalted on eagle's wings. I fly. I rise above my troubles and hope to reach the sky. Sometimes I'm full of doubting and think I have no grace. Sometimes I'm full of praising when Christ reveals his face. Sometimes I hope so little, I think I'll throw it by. Sometimes it seems sufficient if I were called to die. Sometimes I shun the Christian, lest he should talk to me. Sometimes he is the neighbor I long the most to see. Sometimes we meet together, the seasons dry and dull. Sometimes we find a blessing. With joy it fills my soul. Sometimes I travel mourning down Babel's ancient stream. Sometimes my Lord's religion appears my only theme. Sometimes when I am praying, it seems almost a task. Sometimes receive a blessing the greatest I can ask. That is absolutely wonderful. Now let me say something again, too. We're going to read one more song in a minute. Okay, what I've said, here's the practical part. The Word of God in prayer, okay? The Word of God in prayer. We're going to pray, right? We're going to be in the Word of God. But the gospel and the fellowship of the saints. The gospel, the power of God, and the salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's what Romans 1:16-17 says. We need to be under the sound of the gospel. And also, in the second Timothy, one of the, when I memorize so much stuff, I forget where it's at. It's in 1 and 2 Timothy 1. He said, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's Paul saying that. The gospel saves us, my friend, in that sense. But also the fellowship of the saints. Looks like right here. I feel stronger just being with you. And over to Ecclesiastes, he talked about what if one is by himself, he falls down, he just stayed down there. But if you're with somebody else, you're down, they may pick you up. That's what we do, pick each other up. He said, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We react with each other. I may be down, you may be up. And you get me back up again. That's what it is. I may be down the next time. You may be down the next time. I may get you up. We need the fellowship. So while we're having this hard time, this COVID, and maybe not made as much as we want to, let's still be thinking about each other, praying for each other, getting on the phone, talking to each other. Get together as much as we possibly can. We need each other. God knew what he was doing, my friend. Listen, when the Lord sent the evangelists out, he almost always sent them out two by two. You think he sent the 70 out two by two. He had written for all that. All right, now I'm going to read you one more, and then we're going to close with a song. But I'll read you why I did this today. Why I did this. Because it said in 2 Peter. Let's read that a little bit in 2 Peter. This is his last will and testament. His last will and testament. And I'm going to start in verse 10 of 2 Peter chapter 1. His last will and testament. What was his passion now, this last book he wrote? This 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling election sure. For if you do these things, you should never fall. And he tells above there how to make your calling election sure. Briefly, it's just obeying God. Just obey God. That's the way you make your election sure. I won't read those verses. And I love verse 11. I check old Gil. He's right. I'm glad he's right. I bounced up off old Gil. This is wonderful. This is what happened to Sister Patty. It'll happen to you. I promise you it'll happen to you. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God gives every one of his children an abundant entrance. I don't know what it's like, Brother Justin. I can't imagine what it's like. 1 minute your eyes are here on this earth, then the next day they're affection on Jesus Christ. I don't know what God does when you die, I'll be frank with you. I need to study that out more. Some of you guys may know more than I do about it. I don't know how angels are involved. I don't know. That room where grandmama was probably had a fellow angel. I don't know what the Lord does. I do know one thing is perfect, whatever he does. I've thought about this a lot. You know, I've told you this before, but it thrills me to think about this. When I travel, I'm real nervous, really nervous. I've made a lot of international trips. It's amazing to think a chicken like me would make international trips. But I've made a lot of them, and I'm always nervous as a cat. I can tell you I always drive on crazy. Judy can tell you I almost drive crazy. I get up at the airport. I'm afraid the thing ain't going to pass the ticket desk. I'm afraid they're not going to check the luggage on the way through. I'm afraid my passport's going to be wrong with them, with the visa. I don't even relax until I get on the plane. I'm sitting there and say, phew. We're going to make our connections. We're going to make our connections. And my luggage will get there. If I get to India, it's always kind of scary. It's going to be more that way if we ever go again. Am I going to get arrested here? These guys look at me kind of funny at me what I'm doing here. They're scrutinizing my passport at me where I'm going. So I don't really feel good like I get to see Brother Gump. But I'm going to tell you something. One of these days I'm going to take a trip. It's going to be my last trip. I love old, what's that old guy, the bass singer that died, the same old Bill Gates? What's that guy's name? Everybody remember? George Yuntz, was that it?
George Beverly Shea?
No, I wasn't born Beverly Shea. I think it's George Yuntz. Look him up. He had a real deep voice. And right before he died, he knew he was dying. He had a last concert. He said, I got my backpack and I'm ready to go. Boy, that was a real good show, too. I think the guy's right. So get your backpack. But here's the thing about it is, you have nothing to worry about. The Lord, my God, is your ticket agent. And the angels are going to carry your luggage if you need any, which you really won't need any. And then you won't have to worry about your connections. If you get to heaven, let me tell you something. You got a blood-stamped passport. It's going to make it because Christ stamped the passport. Come on in. Is that how real it is? It's going to be great. No worry on that last trip. Paul said the time of my departure at hand. Our departure, he said, and he also said another place, to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. That's how real it is. Now let's look at Peter here. So, we make our calling, election sure, have this abundant entrance. Now, Peter knew that he was preaching to people just like you and I are, people who need to be reassured. We need to be reassured because the devil's working on us. Our own flesh works on us. We have to be reminded of these things a lot. So he said this, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yeah, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. He's fixing to die. Moreover, I will endeavor, ye may be able, after my decease, have these things always in remembrance. Isn't that precious? And here's what I want to close on. I want to sing, but I want somebody to read it for me. It's one of you good readers. Harris, you're a pretty good old reader. I want you to read How Firm a Foundation, and then we will sing that. Now listen, let me tell you, that this is the Word of God. Now let's say something about one more thing. I'll be through, I promise. What do you mean, be filled with the Spirit? Is that some kind of mysterious thing? Well, there's a subjective element to it, but there's also an objective element to it. Let me tell you two parallel verses. It's Ephesians 5:18 and Colossians 3:16. They're parallel verses. Here's what it says in Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. Paul said the same thing in different words in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. What's he saying? See, the word of God's mixed up in all that. It's not some kind of mystical deal. With the word of God is in our heart, dwelling in us, and the Holy Ghost is making it real to us, that's being filled with the Spirit. So what we need to do is realize what Harry's going to read to us, and then we'll sing this song. My friend, the word of God is our firm foundation. That's what the Lord does. That's why we know it's real, don't we? He wrote this word in our heart when we were born again. So we hear it preached, we say amen. There's something in our souls that amen, I love that. And do it, you know what? Okay, I'm going to shut up. Come on, Harry. Read it for us, and then sing it.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in this excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? In every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home and abroad, on the land, on the sea, as thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. Fear not, I am with thee. No, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace, all sufficient, shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Even down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. The soul that on Jesus still leans for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake.